Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, September 1st, 2016. You know what I'm going to say, Al?
Now is it April Fool's again?
No, it's the 1st, but it's not April. I can't believe it's September 1st. It was just like yesterday I said, I can't believe it's August 1st. I have to say that the first day of every month because this year is just screaming by. It's just unbelievable. And hey, just two more months and we have the election. So exciting.
Yeah, then we'll have something to really remember one way or another. This is going to be a couple of months from now. Oh, yeah. It's like the Kennedy assassination. If your people were alive there, you know where you were when it happened.
I was in fourth grade.
This election is going to be the same thing. You're going to know where you were when the results of this election become apparent and official.
Where were you, Al?
I was in first semester of college, University of Illinois, and I was out playing football. We had a game, and I remember it. I remember it very clearly. We were playing football in the rain, understand, and the mud in the rain. It was kind of a cold, wet rain. Of course, it was wet, but cold rain. And there were probably about a dozen of us playing all together, six on a side, something like that. It was really a wonderful time, and
Now, do I get a chance to say where I was at, Anna?
No.
Are you done?
You asked me.
I was in fourth grade.
Give you a little local color along with the description. I could have given you the GPS number, I suppose. Told you exactly where I was.
No, it's my turn.
No, it's your turn. All right, give us the GPS.
Are you going to listen?
No.
You don't anyway. I was in fourth grade. It was recess time. I was the teacher's pet, so I was allowed to stay in from recess, and I helped her clean the chalkboards and so forth. Her name was Mrs. Mildred Meinzler, and I can remember the janitor came in, and he told us what had happened, and they suspended recess. The rest of the classes came in, elementary classes came in. They told us what happened, and they closed. They sent everybody home. So
I can remember how bizarre it seemed at the time. I thought there was some sort of a revolution taking place because the initial reports indicated that LBJ had been shot. They thought he'd been shot, although it was only in the wrist. And there was another one where, of course, Governor of Texas had been shot. he actually was shot, and I assumed that these people were all in three different locations. I thought the president was one place, and the vice president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, was another one, and governor of Texas was certainly down in Texas. I didn't realize they were all essentially in the, just in two consecutive cars. And I thought, oh, my God, there's a revolution going on in the whole country.
Well, that's because you were in Iowa.
I was in Illinois.
But we knew. We didn't have that type of we kind of knew, but everybody thought he was still alive. You know, we knew he was shot.
They were bringing him to the hospital and the rest of that sort of thing, and there was hope that he was. But that was, I mean,
now
I suspect that was.
Now he's living with Elvis. But anyway, let's get he's with Elvis. Let's get to the market report today.
Soon he'll be living with Bill. And then we'll say, there goes the neighborhood. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a look at gold today. Gold was $1,314, up $4.70. Silver was up 23 cents today at $18.95. Platinum was down 5 at $1,050. That's an incredible spread, folks. I still got I think I got one or two of those platinum. Well, I can always get you more. And they just recently released those 1 ounce platinum eagles that the U.S. Mint started making again. Those are going to be running a little over $100 over spot. But I have some platinum bars at a really good price for you. And that's a significant spread between gold and platinum. So if you already have your gold and silver and you want to add a little bit of platinum, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Palladium was down 7 at $668. And the USDX today, down 0.37 at 95.64. Crude oil was down 118 at 43.52. And the paper markets today of the Dow, none of them basically moved today. The Dow, 18,399. The S&P, 2,168. The NASDAQ was up 7 at 52.20. That was up the most. The S&P was down 2, and the Dow was down 1. Whole 1. And if I'm able to get to my other screen, I will tell you what the 10-year yield has done. My computer has been running really, really, really slow today. I don't know if there's Southern Florida, we have lots of clients in Florida. The East Coast is expected hurricane or tropical storm Hermine. And a lot of things are going on. You have the 10-year yield, 1.57. That's the same as yesterday. Euro, 1.12, and that was up 0.38. Both Germany and London were down over 1%. Asian markets basically unchanged. So, our listeners, if you're listening, if you're inside and don't have anything else to do because of that tropical storm hurricane that you're receiving, be safe. And it's a holiday weekend, and so many people will be on the road on the eastern shore. So just be safe as you do your travels.
Got an article from Zero Hedge, which I'm going to bring to your attention because it was just yesterday or the day before, I don't recall which, when I was talking about the November election and how it might not only decide whether Hillary wins or Trump wins, but it may decide the future of mainstream media, because mainstream media has profoundly slanted in favor of Hillary Clinton. And the only place you might be able to get something like the truth, not the only place, but predominantly, and not, there's lies on the internet, but there's also some truth there if you care to dig it out and look for it. This may determine, I was speculating, that this election may have a lot to do with the future of mainstream media. And here's an article from Zero Hedge that I saw today, and it says mainstream media admits it may never recover from the 2016 election. That's the headline. In a revealing statement that flew largely under the radar earlier this month, the mainstream media admitted that it would never recover from its irresponsible and negligent coverage of the 2016 presidential election. A recent column published in the New York Post referred to the media's reporting as, quote, the complete collapse of American journalism as we know it. By torching its remaining credibility in service of Clinton, the mainstream media's reputation will likely never recover. Or will the standards? No future producer, editor, reporter, or anchor can be expected to meet the test of fairness when that standard has been trashed in such willful and blatant fashion. So my point is, I'm just trying not to break my arm while I pat myself on the back, but I'm just saying, I saw that, and I made a few comments about it. And here we have one article from Zero Hedges that said, yeah, buddy, mainstream media is in trouble. So hooray for me, Melody. What else, Melody?
I think, you know, and you know, I think once Donald Trump is no longer president,
no longer president.
Well, when he's there, four years. Yeah, 4 years or 8 years. I think the media will be one place that he becomes involved in, probably. But anyway, we all know that he had his meeting in Mexico. You know, there's about $25 billion that flows to Mexico because of the citizens that live overseas, and almost all of that is from the U.S. That number is even higher than what Mexico actually earns from its oil exports. The average remittance in June was $300. Which when multiplied by the number of Mexican workers abroad totals the billions of dollars each year. And that's a pretty hefty number. Remittances are even expected to top $28 billion this year, and all that money is dependent on a border that allows people to cross. And, of course, you know, we know how important it is to stop that border and get these folks legal. So I think that was Mexico is the world's 12th largest exporter and a major auto manufacturer. It collected about $23 billion from exporting oil last year. And so, again, you can see how
they collected how many billion by exporting illegal aliens?
20, 25, 28.
See, there's more money in exporting illegal aliens than there is in exporting automobiles.
Oil. Yep.
Some kind of a lesson there. I don't know how we factor that into economics, but I'm sure Janet Yellen can include that in her calculations one way or another. Trump made that surprise visit to Mexico, and an article at Yahoo News, which is pretty virulent in its opposition to Trump, says Trump's surprise visit to Mexico threatens to overshadow immigration speech. There's always a gray lining. And Yahoo's news is, I don't care what Trump does, they'll find something negative to say about it. But there were people who were concerned. I thought going down there, we talked about it yesterday, I thought it indicated he was behaving in a way that appeared to be presidential. It has since, he's received a certain amount of criticism, mainly from Mexico, that they didn't like what he had to say. I think it's working. There's people are saying, oh, he's going to learn to lose the Mexican vote in this country. Well, he can't claim much of that anyway. But it reaffirms that he is not softening his immigration stance. They have the president of Mexico and other people in Mexico that are saying, hey, you know, the guy's an idiot. A lot of people in this country say, yay!
Yeah, but the thing of it is, I don't think it really matters who this country elects as president. Now, I'm not saying this negative against Trump or anything. Any foreign leader knows what they get from the U.S. And they're going to do whatever they have to do to embrace whoever's the new president. So Trump did know going down there that he wouldn't be rejected from, you know, because if he does become president, you know, there still has to be, Mexico gets a lot from the U.S. and they can't, you know, they're going to accept whatever's given to them so they can keep taking. And so, You know, there was no reason why they wouldn't accept Trump in a negative
manner.
Had,
but they didn't right now. Like, and what
no,
I'm trying
making,
to say is
not
what
going
that's
to
done.
Either. They're
some
not
people
going
think
to.
That Trump has been softening his stance on immigration, and it's disappointing to Trump supporters who started out because Trump said he's going to build a wall. Well, maybe he is and maybe he's not. But judging from what we heard out of former President Vicente Fox and the current President Nieto, it appears Mexico said that guy's crazy.
Yeah,
we got to leave the border. We can't have a wall. We're not going to pay for any wall. And all that's going to do is a lot of people are reassured. And they're saying, no, Trump is not going soft on immigration. He's going to make the Mexicans mad. Well, that's going to encourage his supporters in this country. And that's my point.
Well, yeah. And you know, and that's a point he made. And, you know, he did well. But, yeah, Mexico would have still embraced. They weren't going to tell him no. And so he was able to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. But, you know, you have to look at things differently to understand what's going on. We got a couple of articles on Deutsche Bank. G20 meetings is meeting this weekend, and top executives, the Deutsche Bank's top executives, they're also will this weekend consider speeding up cuts at the Germany's biggest lender, which is grappling with sliding revenue, and of course the negative interest rates doesn't help. This article is from Reuters. Sources have told Reuters today the gathering takes place amid speculation over the future of the bank, and we all know it was once a very powerful international player, but they have lost trillions of dollars. The two biggest lenders in Europe's biggest economy, Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank, both of them have had their ratings slip, and there's even a possibility that maybe after they get restructured, which what does restructured mean?
It means that the people they owe money to aren't going to get it.
Yes.
It's a polite way of saying they're bankrupt, but we're not going to admit they're bankrupt. We're just going to restructure the debt, which means if they owe you $1 million, how does $500,000 sound to you?
Yeah. So once that's done, there was possible discussions of perhaps a merger, but some say that's not likely, but we'll see. But last year, Deutsche Bank announced plans to slash 15,000 jobs and shed businesses employing some 20,000 staff. Their assets were down to $1.8 trillion at the end of the quarter from $2.2 trillion at the end of 2008. So they're certainly having their difficulties, but they're just barely hanging on. Pardon?
Is Deutsche Bank too big to fail?
You know what? I it depends if they need a scapegoat or not. You know, if they might just let it slip in order to start the process.
The question, what the implication of the question is the German government shoring up Deutsche Bank? I mean, everything you hear about Deutsche
That's
Bank is it's technically bankrupt. But is the government saving them right now, or is the government just saying, well, you know, better you than me?
Well, no, that's the point. It depends on how they need to use them. If they need to use them in a way that they need some sort of distraction or an excuse or whatever, they'll let it fail. If you know, if it behooves that, you know, if they continue to make their dollars off of them, they'll save them. So, certainly, I don't think Deutsche Bank is, you know, I would put Deutsche Bank what on the same level
as Lehman Brothers.
Corruption, well,
Lehman
corruption
Brothers. They just
Lehman's,
haven't pulled the plug on them yet.
Haven't pulled the plug yet, and
they've got an artificial heart going right now, and one thing or another like that. But they have more in common with Lehman Brothers than they do with a viable financial institution.
And then we're going to talk about gold and
gold?
Deutsche Bank.
Well, we are, but we won't start that until we return from our break. Because
that's a teaser for the listeners.
Uh-huh.
Gold and Deutsche Bank.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's a teaser.
It's a teaser.
Okay, we need another 25 seconds of tease right now, Melody.
Well, Frank can go early.
All right, Frank, are you ready to rock and or roll?
He does pay attention.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, normally we have James Corbett, and everyone knows that he takes a break every other week because of his newly addition to the family. But because this is Labor Day weekend, he is scheduled to be on the program tomorrow. So we just changed things around a little bit. So Al and I are doing the live show today, and tomorrow I will do a live update on the markets for the first 20 minutes. And then, of course, you will be hearing James Corbett. So if you're missing him today, he'll be here tomorrow. And I just want to remind folks to make sure they visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, that won't be going out because of Labor Day on Monday for this week, so it'll be a doubly good. Is there such doubly good?
Sounds like the Doubleman twins. I'm not
a
sure.
A doubly good issue in 2 weeks. And see what else. 1-800-375-4188.
An article from Reuters, again talking about Deutsche Bank. We were talking a little about Deutsche Bank before the break. And the headline is, Deutsche Bank refuses clients' demand for physical gold.
Mm.
Clients of Germany's biggest banks who have invested in the exchange-traded commodity, extra gold, are facing problems when they want to obtain physical gold. Extra gold is a bond on the Deutsche Börse commodities market, and Deutsche Bank is the designated sponsor. On the website, Extra Gold says its clients have the right to take physical delivery of gold. And they're quoting. This is from the Extra Gold advertising. Physically backed. The issuer uses the proceeds from the issue of extra gold to purchase gold. The physical gold is held in custody of the issuer in the Frankfurt vaults of Clearstream Banking AG, a wholly owned subsidiary of Deutsche Börse. In order to facilitate delivery of physical gold, the issuer holds a further limited amount of gold on an unallocated weight account with Umicore AG and Company. All right. However, despite claims that virtually every gram of gold is backed by the same amount of physical gold, clients have been refused the precious metal upon demand. Now, this is the bank says the service is no longer available for reasons of business policy. See, we took your money, telling you you could get physical delivery, but since then, we've changed our business policy, and now you can't get the physical delivery. At least many people haven't been able to. Extra Gold says it has holdings that amount to over 85 tons of gold. At the same time, the number of deliveries of physical gold has risen to nearly 900 at a total volume of 4 tons. What they're saying here, what they appear to be saying, is that while Extra Gold says it has 85 tons of gold, some of its clients actually want their gold, and it amounts to no more than 4 tons, and Extra Gold cannot provide 4 tons, cannot or will not provide 4 tons out of what they claim to be is an 85 tons of gold in their vault. The troubles with delivering even small amounts of gold to retail clients by Deutsche Bank may indicate that the global physical gold shortage is only growing. In my opinion, it might also indicate that Deutsche Bank is bankrupt and a possible criminal enterprise that's about to go belly up and might take the world with it. I mean, we've heard reports critical of Deutsche Bank for perhaps 6 months now, claiming they're on the edge. They seem to avoid, they have been sustained by something. They have avoided a complete collapse. But if they've promised to pay some of their investors, people invested in certain products, and said, okay, we have the right to take physical gold. They say, yeah, we want the physical gold. And Deutsche Bank says, sorry, we changed our business policy. It's not a good sign. It's one of those things. Deutsche Bank, biggest bank in Germany. It's the world's, it's the biggest bank in Germany, and it is on the ropes for sure. Whether or not Deutsche Bank is really going to collapse remains to be seen, but it's certainly, if you can believe what you've read over the last several months, it looks like at least a 90% probability that Deutsche Bank is going down, and the only question is when. The article continues, says Germany has the second largest gold reserves at 3,381 metric tons. However, there has been a public backlash against the German government for keeping most of the country's gold reserves abroad. All right? And what is the lesson to this little story? If you're going to let Deutsche Bank hold your gold, don't count on getting it back. And Germany has left, I don't know how much gold at the New York's Federal Reserve Bank, and they can't get it back out of there. They haven't been able to recover the. They have asked for their money now for a couple of years, perhaps, at least a year, maybe two. They've been trying to get their money out of the New York Federal Reserve, and out of the New York Federal Reserve. And so far, as I know, they have been largely unsuccessful. They've been told it takes something like 7 years to get all their money back. This is telling us something, and what it appears to indicate is that the central banks of and the major banks of the world that are allegedly holding gold probably aren't. All right. We don't know that to be absolutely true, at least probably aren't holding as much as they claim to hold. They have quite possibly leased much of their gold to third parties who sold it out in the market. And in doing so, they've helped to suppress the price of gold because the central banks say, oh, we've still got thousands of tons. We've got all our gold. You know, we would never do anything. We've got our 3,000 tons here. Germany, they've got their 3,000 tons. Maybe not. Okay, maybe it's not really there. Maybe 2,000 of that 3,000 tons has been sold into the market, and the market is counting both the 2,000 tons that's been sold and perhaps turned into ingots or even coins. They're going, well, we got 2,000 there, and we still have 3,000 in the German vaults. They are calculating that we have 5,000 tons of gold, maybe even 6,000 tons of gold, when in fact, maybe there's only half of that available right now. And the implication is that if that turns out to be an accurate assessment, and if the world figures out that there's only half as much gold in circulation as many of the central banks and governments claim, then what should the price of gold be? And it should probably be double whatever it is right now, and maybe more than that. But if there's only half the gold around here, in fact, they're running an illusion. And this is not a new observation by me. This idea has been presented by a number of people for a number of years. They're leasing gold and claiming to still have it when it's being sold to third parties. Fraud. Sooner or later, that fraud is going to be exposed. When it is, people are going to say, oh my gosh, the price of gold is double, should be double what it is right now, and maybe more than that. And the other point to the story, people who have trusted Deutsche Bank to store their gold have perhaps seen their trust betrayed. Right? Germany trusted New York Fed to store some of its gold. They may have seen that trust betrayed. There is a lesson here. You connect the dots and you can start to say, you know, when you start trusting other people and other institutions to protect your gold, there's a certain amount of wishful thinking in that. And under the right circumstances, you're going to find out, we don't have it. We've had a change in business policy. We can't give you gold. How would you like a nice, fresh check? Maybe even some cash right off the press, hot and fresh. How about that?
Well, you know, I think many people have forgotten that Deutsche Bank was the one that truly initiated the disbanding of the London Gold Fix. They were the first ones, they're the ones that pulled out. And that is right about the time, you know, how many years ago was that? 2 years, 3 years ago? Yeah. Where they really started having their problems. And
maybe that was evidence of their problems, and they didn't want to be, maybe they would have showed up if they had stayed in the London Gold Fix. Is that possible?
Well, they were being accused of rigging the gold market at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So it's somewhere along in the line, it's part of the puzzle of Deutsche Bank and the problems that they're having. But they were the first one. They were the ones that pulled out, and then, you know, the two others followed. But they were the first ones, and I think at that point in time they were being threatened with some of the higher ups to be taken to court and so forth. But naturally they just pay the fine, and, you know, everybody moves on, no guilt is ever admitted, but
jail is
wrong
for the
doing.
Poor people in the middle class, but not the super rich, Melody.
True.
They don't go to jail.
So,
they have lots of money to get
it's
a jail free card.
True. But it's interesting how, you know, when you look at their history and you look at where they are today and the problem. So are they going to be saved, or are they going to be used as a scapegoat? I think they're going to be the scapegoat. But because I think with their shenanigans with the London gold fix and so forth, I think they did that on their own. I don't think they had approval to do that. So,
well, maybe just fighting to survive, just as they claim to have 85 tons of gold, according to the report we were reading, but they can't deliver 4 tons of gold, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
What happened to the other 81 tons of gold? Is it gone? Have they used that to shore up and maintain the illusion that they're still a viable financial institution?
Well, none of the ETFs have to be. As far as I know, they still don't audit the ETFs. And that's what this was. It was an ETF. So they're not audited. You really don't know how much gold they have.
No.
I mean, these ETFs, these gold and silver ETFs were initially, I mean, I believe they were one of the first ones, but of the ETFs, created so Wall Street had something to trade. You know, when people wanted real physical gold, Wall Street wouldn't sell it because they don't make money on it. They can't churn your account. You might call it trading, but really Wall Street churns your account. So they can continue to add commissions to their bank accounts. But so they created ETFs. So when a client comes to them and says, hey, I want some physical gold. Well, you don't want that physical gold. Heck no. You have to store it. You have to worry about somebody stealing it. You have to do this. But you know what? We do have these ETFs. Let's put 10% of your money in there. And most people are happy thinking they now own gold.
Yep.
And they are certainly not aware of the problems that they really face in the future. They think they're protected, but they're not. It's the same way with mining shares. People think they have gold. You don't. You have a corporation. You do not own gold. You own paper. You own the corporation. So when you buy mining shares, you better know. It shouldn't just be from, you know, somebody telling you that, you know, it's a great corporation and so forth. It's the same thing as Wall Street does when they sell IBM and every other piece of paper. So know the corporation. And
even then, I mean,
we see stories like Deutsche Bank,
for example. Lehman Brothers, when they collapsed, they nearly triggered that collapse of a single financial institution, came close to triggering a global depression. That's assuming it didn't, but it came close at least. Good chance that Deutsche Bank could do the same. All right? And the point is, we live in a world that is fragile, unstable, unreliable. I don't care where you put your gold. You can put it in the most trustworthy corporation in all the world. But if it's 500 or 1,000 miles away from you and things go really badly, I'm not saying they're going to, but some people think they might. If they really have that worst case scenario, what good is that going to be? Say, look, I've got 1,000 ounces of gold. It's just off in Philadelphia. Really? What good's that going to do you down here in Texas? That's like needing a gun when it's at your Aunt Margaret's up in Illinois. Now, you need the gun now. You need it in your hand. The same thing, in my opinion, is at least potentially true about gold. And there is no free ride.
No.
But there are some rides that are almost, that have a high probability of leading you to a lot of trouble. And if you're going to deal in paper, my opinion, you're going to head for trouble. If you're going to deal with storing your wealth, trusting someone else to store your wealth. I mean, put your gold in the vault, all right, at some foreign locations. It's either out of state, out of the United States completely. What if things really do go badly? What is to prevent the people running that vault from simply taking your gold and everyone else's gold in the vault and moving to wherever, Singapore, Argentina, someplace? What are you going to do about it? In a worst-case scenario, do you think you're going to be able to sue them? There isn't going to be any access. There's not going to be, the court isn't going to reach out from here to, you know, Jakarta in order to say, well, order them to give your gold back. It just isn't going to happen. If you're concerned about a worst-case scenario, if you think that's a possibility that's worth considering, then you have to think in terms of, what am I going to do to hang on to my gold, and how can I personally protect it? And if you can do that, well, then you have a shot. If you can't do it, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. And the people that don't have gold, they're going to be in deep, deep trouble no matter what they do. Then they got paper. Now what? You know, people go around, you've heard this, you've heard it for years, where people who are antagonistic to the idea of gold. They say, well, you can't eat gold. Well, you can't eat the paper shares either. You can't eat the bonds and the stocks. You're going to make a stock sandwich? I'm going to get two slices of stock shares, and I'm going to put a bond between the two slices of stock shares and have it for lunch? You know. But in worst case scenario, your stocks and bonds aren't going to be worth much. Your gold will still hold its value. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article from the Hacker News. Dropbox hacked. More than 68 million account details leaked online. Now, they didn't get a lot out of this. Many of you, probably most of you, don't recognize what Dropbox is. It's a way of moving files where you can have a common vault, for lack of a better term, where I can put files, you can put files, we have a little group of people, and we can move our files. And every time one of us puts a file in there, if it's amended, everybody gets an amended copy. It's a handy device for moving files around. But they point out Dropbox was hacked. More than 68 million account details leaked online. This actually took place in 2012. And Dropbox announced that they were hacked back in 2012, but they didn't. According to this article from the Hacker News, they failed to specify the exact number of affected users. They apparently left the impression, well, they were hacked and they got a dozen or 20 users. No, they got 68 million. All right, and they didn't bother saying anything. They didn't bother telling the number back in 2012, but they are now. And it didn't generate much heat in 2012, but here, because they covered it up and they said, don't tell them, oh my God, 68 million, don't tell. They'll ruin us. But what's going to happen now? It's coming out now. And I'll guarantee that there are people all over the world that are looking at Dropbox and they're saying, I don't know. Now, here's another one in the same line. This is from Technocracy News. And the headline is Facebook using deep data mining to destroy privacy. Facebook's ability to figure out people we might know is sometimes eerie. Many a Facebook user has been creeped out when a one-time Tinder date or an ex-boss from 10 years ago suddenly pops up as friend recommendations. How does the big blue giant know? They tell a story of a psychiatrist who was occasionally on Facebook. She just used it infrequently. Next thing you know, she starts finding out that that Facebook is recommending that she contact some of her own clients as friends. Huh? Now, beyond that, when you put the pieces together, you could figure out that some of her clients they had mental illness, they were the victims of domestic abuse. The psychiatrist is supposed to be responsible for maintaining her client's privacy. But Facebook found a way to get around that. Now, she wasn't releasing the details, but Facebook was figuring it out. And they wanted it. Apparently, it had something to do with once she revealed her cell phone number to Facebook. And Facebook had a way of checking this out through Microsoft or Google or wherever. Then they start coming up with her clients. They didn't know what they were doing exactly, but they didn't care what they were doing. And the point is, once again, you get into this brave new internet world and you can't count on privacy. You can't count on security. Now, get another one. It's coming up. This is Ultim, primarily from the Washington Examiner. It was actually in Prophecy News Watch, but the article is the basis was an article in the Washington Examiner. The headline, "Do We Trust the Elections? Homeland Security to Take Charge." Washington Examiner headline read, "Homeland Security to Take Charge of Elections. We know that local election databases have been hacked, and Donald Trump has expressed concern that the presidential election in November could be rigged somehow." And when we say somehow, we mean digitally. If they can control the computers, if they can hack the computers, somebody can control the election. According to the Washington Examiner, even before the FBI identified the new cyber attacks on two separate state election boards, the Department of Homeland Security began considering declaring the election a critical infrastructure, giving the Department of Homeland Security the same control over security it had over Wall Street and the electric power grid. Now, the point of the article is that Department of Homeland Security says, oh my gosh, somebody's hacking into our election process. They've had two instances that we know about, and they're much concerned that someone might try to adversely to falsify the election results in 2016. And Homeland Security says, that's a job for Big Brother. Here comes Homeland Security, and they will protect us. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure that's true. If we, right now, we have about 9,000 separate election divisions in the United States. They break down on the basis of cities and counties and whatever. But we have about 9,000 of these separate entities that are collecting votes. There are undoubtedly some dangers and liabilities when you have 9,000 of these small entities that are counting the votes. But there's also a certain amount of strength in it, in that hackers could come in and they might be able to get to some of those entities. But they can't get to all 9,000 or probably even a majority of them without leaving a trail that can be tracked and found. On the other hand, if we hand over control of the elections to a single governmental entity like Homeland Security, what guarantee do we have that we can trust Homeland Security not to fix the elections? We are sitting on the edge of something here that is a lot like the former Soviet Union, where they used to have elections and they only had one candidate and he always got 97-98% of the vote. But the government counted the vote, as Stalin said, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. If we have a single entity in charge of keeping our elections secure, that entity is a primary suspect, certainly someone that you have to wonder about. Can we trust Homeland Security? 3 days ago, Senator Minority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat from Nevada, sent a letter to FBI Director James Comey expressing concern that, quote, the threat of the Russian government, tampering in our presidential elections is more extensive than widely known and may include the intent to falsify official election results. Well, Harry is out to save us from the Russians. This is the same Russians who allegedly are responsible for hacking into Hillary's email and embarrassing her and the Democratic Party. So the Democrats, oh my gosh, the evil Russians are at it again. They may not only get Hillary, they may even get the election and compromise it one way or another. And I'm thinking to myself, if the Russian government, which is 10, 15,000 miles away, if they can tamper in our elections from that far away, what's to stop the FBI, the National Security Agency, and Homeland Security from tampering with our elections right here? They're local. They don't have to cross the Atlantic Ocean or whatever with their computer programs. They're right here. They could do this. So we are left to wonder, who should we fear more, the government of Russia or the government of the United States? Who in the final analysis has caused more real harm to this country in the past decade? Secretary of State Hillary Clinton or the Russian President Vladimir Putin? Right now we have about, again, 9,000 separate election districts in the United States, and there's dangers. But, you know, if we're going to put all our eggs in one basket, we are exposing ourselves to a certain amount of liability. We are trusting Homeland Security. And from my perspective, you could just as easily say Big Brother. Incidentally, I wrote an article on Homeland Security probably a year, 2 years ago. And what it was about was a hearing in Congress. And there was a photograph of the hearing in Congress, and someone was holding up a map of the homeland. Right? And you could see it in the photograph. And they had Europe, and they had Asia, and the homeland included Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Homeland, I have yet to find I haven't looked hard for one, but I have yet to see a geographic description of the homeland. We sit back, oh, homeland, you know, must mean the United States. Well, yeah, but it may also mean Canada and Mexico. The homeland is arguably the North American Union. And this photograph was right there. It was in Congress. And this was being held up in Congress to illustrate a point. Well, homeland is, if that photograph and the map seen in the photograph, if they're valid, then the homeland is part of a globalist enterprise. And do we want to trust some globalist entity to secure our elections and count our votes for us? Is that what we want to do? Really? The question becomes, who do we have to fear more? Big Brother, that is to say Homeland Security, or the little hackers? Who should we fear? Who should we trust? Perhaps the solution to this dilemma is to abandon digital voting and go back to paper ballots. I write my ballot. I sign my name to it. Maybe I sign my name to it, maybe I don't, but I give a copy of the ballot that goes to people counting the votes, and I take one copy with me. Where if push comes to shove, we can go to the voters and say, where's your piece of paper? We want to see what really happened. The election looks to be skewed in a way that's unreasonable. We can look at the paper trail and we can say, ha-ha, this election was falsified. We know this. We can track this down. It would take some effort, but it can be done. Digitally, you can't prove diddly. Right? So maybe we need a non-digital evidence of our votes that we've cast in order to create the paper trail that can be followed to see who really wins our elections and inhibits hackers, government agencies, criminals, Soros, from meddling in our elections. Yes, it'll take a little bit longer to count the votes. I understand that. Won't be as instantaneous as the computer, but it's not going to be subject to the kinds of problems that they are considering right now. What do you think, Melody? Should we go to a non-digital election format?
We should.
I think it's actually a pretty good idea. I think it's the sort of thing where you wreck the problem. Is the fundamental problem with hackers is they can hack into anything digital. Right? And if you want to protect something from the hackers, you've got to probably keep it in a form that is not digital. They can't hack into reality. They can't hack into the paper, just the sheets of paper. Right? Likewise, they can't hack into gold coins. They can hack into bank accounts. They can't hack into digital. They can hack into digital bank accounts. They can't hack into gold coins. This is a consistent lesson with what we see. This even goes to when we start having a digital election where we can't be sure about the votes count. This is not so far removed from our notion of fiat currency. We have some digital currency coming floating around. About 80% of our transactions are made with digital currency, meaning credit cards. Huh? I mean, we are living in a digital world, and it is convenient, and it offers opportunity for great profits, and it also offers opportunities for enormous thefts that are very difficult to detect, hard to prove. So I'm just saying, maybe we need to start thinking about this digital universe we're living in right now. And if you've got things you really want to protect, like your wealth or your votes, maybe they need to be in a non-digital format. Okay, Melody, now it's your turn.
Well, you know, you first started out with talking about Facebook.
Yep.
And I believe one of their satellites didn't get up into the sky. It caught on fire, so they lost one of their satellites. And so, you know, I mean, that's a little bit of a payback. I'm not sure how much those satellites cost, but I'm sure they're not inexpensive by any means. So, but
I don't know if it's a payback or, I mean, we are living in a digital world, and it's a strange place, and every bit of us is vulnerable. The information that you folks give to Facebook or any of the other social media, all of this is being combined and assembled. Where, again, a psychiatrist in the story we're talking about, Facebook is recommending she contacts her patients as potential friends. Somehow they've put an algorithm together where they know that her phone number associates with these people's phone number, and they're saying, why don't you call them and get them to sign up for Facebook?
It is amazing what people put on Facebook.
No.
It's just shocking.
And what's your phone number? Give them your cell phone. You go to any other website in the world and give them your phone, give them your cell phone, and more than likely, Facebook will almost instantly have an association between Facebook and you and that new website. You give them this common information, they can look for these you use the same password. You have a password for Facebook. You have another you may be using the same password for your Yahoo email account just out of convenience. As soon as they see those common denominators, bang, the computers automatically hook them together and they can create a profile of you. Huh? It's far more extensive than you may be able to recognize on your own.
You and I had a little bit of a disagreement not too long ago about you thinking you were signing up for something that, it can't be hacked. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. If you're on the Internet, no matter what's on there, it is not private. It can be hacked, period.
Same thing with your bank accounts.
Yep.
If you want to store your wealth, you need to think twice about keeping it in a digital format. We're out of time. Be back tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.